Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Reaction Time. We're reacting to videos in which we find that Hollywood raises philosophical and theological doubts. In order to react to some of these videos, we invite Sheikh Ali Hemani. Sheikh Ali Hemani, assalamu alaikum and welcome to Reaction Time.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me here and inshallah, I hope we have a good episode this time again.
Inshallah. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, of course, and coming. The last series was really interesting, you know, where we found how some of the videos that we saw, how advertising and marketing and Hollywood have a tendency to train the subconscious mind, and how they have a tendency to condition the subconscious mind. This series, though, I think you have something a little bit different planned, so we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Sure, thank you so much. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani lillahir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. The last series we had focused on this two essential elements. One was focused on the fact that not just us, the scholars from the Hawza or the seminary or the parents who are worried about their children have been raising this concern about Hollywood and animation and cartoons. They've been programmed and designed in a way to condition the subconscious mind of the children. But
right,
the researchers from the Western world, they've actually gone into it and they've done their research and they've come back and made that documentary we spoke about, Consuming Kids.
Right.
There's so much in it. I would really encourage the parents to watch it. There's one segment where you would see that in 1980s, they actually went to the federal court asking them to ban the advertisements which are focused for children below 5 years.
Wow.
And the court agreed to it. And they banned the advertisements for kids below 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's only when the Bush administration came in, that's when they lifted the ban and allowed these industries and organizations to target the children again. And there's a huge industry behind it, to influence the kids so that they buy the product, they follow the loyalty program of the, and it's about $40 billion worth of industry just from the little kids, right? So that was from the earlier series that we were doing. But this time around, the movie clips that we have here, they're going to be focused on this fundamental element that talks about theological aspects. A lot of times we look at movies only for entertainment purpose and we don't focus on it that do they even have anything to do with theology? Do they have anything to do with philosophy? But the fact is that just like for kids, they have a pre-planned concept or worldview. For the grown-ups, they have an equally well-developed concept that they, I can say imbibe in their videos to implant a thought in your brain, in your subconscious mind that keeps ticking your conscious mind and telling it that, did you find the solution? Did you find the solution? Did you find the solution? And when the conscious mind says, no, I can't, I did not, that's when the subconscious mind says, then probably that doubt is maybe true and we should just go by with it.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
We're going to look at these video clips where in these intense scenarios, Hollywood brings in some of those very fundamental and primary theological doubts and philosophical questions that we study in Hausa.
Right.
And you would see that, sometimes some of these doubts actually take 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or even sometimes 2 months to resolve this doubt. And they know that if they raise such a doubt in their videos, a single scene, not a single answer, not a 15-minute explanation can resolve it. And therefore, intentionally, they raise such kind of doubts which would take a long time to get resolved. And there's no one out there to make a movie, to make a video, to provide a solution, a comprehensive, extensive solution. And they know they've done their job. And that's why you see today our youth, particularly the Muslim youth from our community as well, they have these doubts and questions in their mind. So when you go for tabligh, you see these children, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, coming to you and asking those philosophical existential questions that we study in Hausa here. So the question, either we start thinking, my God, look at that child, he's so intelligent, rather than we should be thinking and asking that, has he been watching a lot of Hollywood movies? Is this question implanted into his head by these series? So that's something we need to look at. So
It seems like it's quite concerning, right? Like, just like the last series, I remember that, every single time we watched a different video, It was quite alarming, you know, the way that all this stuff is being done and the subconscious conditioning of the mind and you know, how we kind of let our guard down when we go to watch a movie. This too is quite alarming, right?
Yes,
we go and we watch these Hollywood movies and we don't, you know, think twice about it that, you know, I'm going to be sitting there for an hour, hour and a half. And the potential of some kind of a, you know, theological, philosophical doubt being implanted into my mind. I mean, nobody thinks about that, right? Yeah. So this is quite alarming. And,
And surprisingly, they're not even afraid of us. Yeah. They are very, very clear and apparent about it. Like the last time we saw this video with Will Smith, he says, you know, we've been conditioning their subconscious mind and all that. They're very clear about it. Yeah. Similarly, there was a whole movie about it. It's called Inception, right? Mm-hmm. So they talk about this. They say, okay, you know what? We know how to work on your brain. We know how to implant that thought in your mind. We know how to change your behavior and decision making. And this is how we do it. Look, we made a movie about it. Yeah. And people are like, amazing. Wow, amazing movie. I saw it three times. They're pretty clear about it. They know what they're doing. And there's a time. Look, there's a time when you cheat someone and then you try and hide it because you're like, you know, you're worried that someone will catch you. But now they're like, no, we're doing it. And we're telling you we're doing it.
Yeah.
And we know you can't stop yourself. You can't protect yourself from us. So try whatever you can. Mm. We're doing it.
Mm. Yeah. And I know like some of this, because this is a good introduction to, you know, what we're going to do in the next, you know, two, three videos. But one of the interesting things is that when you, especially the youth, because I guess people our age have a tendency to have less time to go watch movies and that kind of stuff. But, you know, the teenage years and the early 20s, these guys, you know, they're still in college, university, they have more time to go and watch these movies. And that age seems to be very sensitive to these kind of theological doubts or philosophical doubts or, you know, where I'm from, where I'm going to go, you know, what's the purpose of life. And if you confuse somebody at that age with these questions, I think the repercussions are quite severe.
Exactly. And they're very receptive to these doubts because they're fresh mind. They're trying to understand what's happening around me. What's my role in the society? What's my role in the family? They're trying to establish their own identity. And suddenly they have this existential question that are you even awake or are you into a matrix, a system? Someone else is planting a thought in your mind. You're living a robotic life. And they're like, really? I need to think about it. What's happening around me? Am I actually living? Do I have a free will? Or am I a slave to a computer system? These are the thoughts that really bother and, you know, put you into that state of doubt. And then you start thinking that, why bother? You know, just live the life the way it is. You know, just go against the system. I want to defy the system. So even when you talk about religion, they're like, no, no, I'm being controlled by a system. I need to go against the system. Because that's what Neo was doing. If you remember the last set of videos we saw about what is real, the whole movie was about this, that Neo, Mr. Anderson, was going against the system to prove that I don't want to be part of the system. I want to be out of it. I want to use my free will. And that's what happens with the teenagers and the youth.
Interesting. Well, I guess we'll leave the rest of the discussion for after the video.
But it's, today we have a very, very interesting video. It took me a while to catch this question because what we're going to watch today is so you know, subliminally hidden that it takes a little while. The dialogues are, you know, running really fast. It takes a while for you to understand. Sometimes you have to slow it down and listen carefully that what is he talking about? And then you realize, oh my God, look, that's a really concerning question he's raising, right? So let's look at the video and see.
Okay, all right, okay. Bismillah.
Boy, do we have problems up here. The problem of evil in the world. The problem of absolute virtue.
I'll take you in without breaking you, which is more than you deserve.
The problem of you on top of everything else. You above all. Ah, because that's what God is. Horus, Apollo, Jehovah, Kal-El, Clark, Joseph, Kent. See, what we call God depends upon our tribe, Clark Joe. Because God is tribal. God takes sides. No man in the sky intervened when I was a boy to deliver me from Daddy's fists and abominations. I figured out way back. If God is all powerful, he cannot be all good. And if he is all good, then he cannot be all powerful.
if I can, I just wanted to pause a little bit because
this is exactly like, the point where I wanted to pause and discuss this.
Okay, yeah.
He's brought up multiple points here.
I mean, and in a very short amount of time, he, like, for example, my initial reaction, so he's negating God on one side. On the other side, he's saying that there's so many different gods, which is kind of indirectly negating God, right? And then that, I don't know, it was so complex. And there were so many things going on at the same time. I mean, I don't know, your analysis on what happened.
The first thing he says that the problem of evil in the world.
Right. Which so itself
that's
a serious...
That's one of the very, very important philosophical discussion that we have, that we have Shahid Mutahhiri writing a whole book on this. It's called Adl-e Ilahi, the Divine Justice, where he discusses one of the primary concepts that is discussed is that the existence of evil in the world. Then he says the problem of absolute virtue, that means, you know, absolute goodness, because this is what we discuss in theology when it comes to Islam. We say when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's absolute goodness, you know, khayr mutlaq.
Right.
So he says, okay, so there is shar that's happening, and then you talk about khayr mutlaq. And then he says the problem of you above all, just like God above everyone else. And then he starts naming few gods.
Yes, yeah, right.
So he says Horus and, you know, Yehovah. He even brings in the Jew God. He says, okay, these are the gods who are above all. And then this is where he starts bringing in the theological doubt. He says, if God is all good, then he cannot be all powerful. Because if he's all good, then only good should happen, while we see evil is happening. Therefore, he's not all good. And if he's all powerful, then if he sees something evil happening, he should intervene and stop. But he's not stopping. That proves that he's not all powerful. And he says, I figured it out a long time ago when my father was beating me black and blue. That's when I realized that, you know, if God was really good, he would come and protect a little child who is helpless. But he is not all powerful. And he takes sides. He takes sides of those who have power in their hand. So I was powerless. God was not with me. He was with my dad. And my dad was, you know, doing zulm on me, if you want to put it that way. And these questions, mind you, are not something that can be answered in a 10-second video clip the way they have portrayed it here. Within 30 seconds, you can't answer them in 30 seconds. You can't answer them in 1 minute, 5 minutes.
Yes, you need multiple, for example, Islamic Pulse talk shows to be able to
and
understand this stuff.
Or if you organize a mimbar or a lecture, you would need a scholar at least 4 or 5 lectures of 1 hour each to explain what does the shar mean, the definition of it, what does
all powerful
all powerful and absolute virtue mean, and how does that come together when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where does the free will of man play a role in it, and where does, you know, your role of being submissive to zulm plays a role in it? Where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that, you know, submitting to zulm is not okay? All this has to be explained, and he put it all together, well wrapped up within 30 seconds. And like I said last time, the scene is intense. There's a dramatic situation here, which you're going to witness now in next 10 seconds. And there's Batman on the other side who's preparing the weapon to kill Superman. And he's preparing all his, you know, powerful suit and all that. And then on the other side, Lex Luthor has come up with this, you know, doomsday. He's prepared his weapon, you know, to kill Superman. So Lex Luthor has a whole plan. And this is like those last 20 minutes or half an hour of the movie where you're totally involved into the movie and you're really interested in about trying to know what happens next, and does Lex Luthor win, what happens to Superman. The title of the movie is Superman and Batman, so they're going to clash now, they're going to collide. And at that moment where you're so involved trying to process all that is happening, that's when they drop this theological question into your subconscious mind. You're not even paying attention to it. You're just like, okay, tell me what's going to happen next. And then it just moves on. It's only later on that you start thinking that there was something about God. Actually,
Well, what it is right? So like kind of in the, in the back of your mind is like what you said in the introduction. In the back of your mind, this thing
keeps
is in there,
it,
you know?
It just
and then
keeps
it's
rolling.
Just a matter of, it becoming, you know, incited, or it becoming, you know, that spark turns into a flame with some other kind of a reaction that occurs in another movie or something you see online, or, you know, some kind of social media tweet. Example.
It just keeps adding up because you have this doubt. Yeah. And this is the seed that has been sowed into your brain. And then you watch another movie that comes in and adds necessary chemicals. And then there's some water being poured from somewhere. And eventually it sprouts into a small tree, a small plant, and then grows into a strong tree. And that's what happens, right?
It's interesting because in the last series, we talked about the whole issue of akhlaq and how important that is. And one of the things that we have in the akhlaq, right, teachings and in the sessions with these akhlaq teachers is this idea that when you're young, this tree that you just referred to, it's easier to move, it's easier to, you know, it's more flexible. But the older the individual gets, the more that tree becomes strong, the roots become deep, and it's very difficult to... So I kind of reminded me of that when you were talking about that.
It's the same thing with the doubts. If you let the doubt remain in their brains for a longer time, then this doubt becomes a strong tree and it's very difficult to uproot it. And that's why sometimes it's necessary that parents be aware of what they are allowing their children to watch. Even the teenagers, the parents need to know that my son's going to go out and watch a Superman movie. So you're like, okay, it's just superheroes. No, there's so much more happening behind it. So they need to know, and then they need to bring this to the attention of the scholars, because scholars don't go out and watch movies, right? So someone has to tell them, look, here's a theological, philosophical doubt being mentioned in this movie. Here's the clip. Look at it. And address this from the member, address this on your Thursday lectures, address this in the Sunday school, and resolve this. And sometimes it happens that kids go to the Maulana and say, did you watch Superman? And they're like, no, I did not. And like, oh, okay. Then they're like, what's the point? I can't even explain it to him. And I can't ask the question. He won't relate to it, right? And this remains with the child when he grows into adult, 20 years old. And that's when you find that he doesn't believe in God. And like, what went wrong?
Yeah,
this went wrong. They...
What is also really interesting, for example, you brought up how by this time of the movie, you know, the viewer is really, you know,
they're involved connected with the movie.
And connected. And, you know, a good hour or so has passed by. This is towards the end of the movie. A lot of action is going on. And so what a strategic place where, I mean, so for example, in the first 20 minutes, your subconscious mind's guard has not been let down. But by this time, you've totally let your guard down.
Yeah.
You know, you have no kind of barrier or dam that will stop this from coming in. You're just totally absorbing you know, and what a perfect place. I guess what I'm trying to say is this is very hisab shudeh. This
is very calculated. Absolutely. This is what we saw in the earlier series, that if there is something happening in the movie, it's not out of blue. They've gone through this again and again, with number of times making sure they have the right kind of music playing in the background, they have the right kind of statements and words. And this is what I would like to point out before we go on and play the rest of the clip, that in the past 20 or 30 minutes, Lex Luthor refers to Superman as God multiple times. So that somewhere in your brain, you start relating to Superman as this all-powerful entity who is living into this human world, who is undefeatable, invincible, and, you know, Man of Steel, nothing can destroy him. That kind of a scenario. And he constantly refers to him as God, 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 God. And now he points out the same thing. Then, you know, God above all, you above all, right? So he's trying to equate Superman with the God. And then next set of clip, when you watch it, you will realize why he keeps equating Superman to God.
You know, Sheikh Ali Himani, I wanted to, before we watch, because I think it's kind of important, you know, this is not an issue that is limited specifically to Muslims.
To Muslims, absolutely.
For example, they didn't say Allah. They said Yehovah, which is the God of the Jewish faith, right? So this is kind of something that is a concern for all faiths, right? And anybody who wants a healthy, you know,
religious, pious family, they should be worried about this.
So for example, when he keeps on connecting him to God, apart from the atheistic type thing, there's also this very strong reference to Jesus Christ being man and then being God, you know. And so they're destroying all the foundations of religion, regardless of, you know, for example, where they're from or who they...
This is one of the movie clips that we're going to watch in one of our series is from this movie called Prometheus. or Alien Covenant, right? That's where I will point out this aspect the, you know, bringing in the Christian terminologies of religion to create that theological doubt.
Interesting. Okay, so we want to continue and watch
this? Let's watch this. You know, there's a very beautiful part here.
And neither can you be. They need to see the fraud you are with their eyes. The blood on your hands.
What have you done?
And tonight they will. Yes. Because you, my friend, have a date. Across the bay. Ripe fruit, his hate. 2 years growing, but it did not take much to push him over, actually. Little red notes. Big bang, you let your family die! And now, you will fly to him. And you will battle him to the death. Black and blue. Fight night. The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. God versus man. Day versus night. Son of Krypton versus Bat of Gotham.
You think I'll fight him for you?
Yes, I do. I think you will fight for that special lady in your life.
She's safe on the ground. How about you?
Close, but I am not talking about Lois. No. Every boy's special lady is his mother. Martha, Martha, Martha. Now the mother of a flying demon must be a witch. The punishment for witches, what is that?
That's right, it's messed up.
Death by fire. I don't know! I would not let them tell me! Now, if you kill me, Martha dies. And if you fly away, Martha also dies. But if you kill the bat, Martha lives. There we go. There we go. And now God bends to my will. Now the cameras are waiting at your ship for the world to see the holes in the holy. Yes, the Almighty comes clean.
I think we can stop here. Most of the important part that we want to discuss is covered here. First thing is there where he says God versus man. You must have noticed. Yeah. So clearly bringing in the perspective that, you know, we have this misconception that God is all powerful. But let's get that misconception aside. Man can fight God.
Right. Yeah.
So that's something that he wants to deliver as a message.
Yeah.
And somewhere in those young minds where the youth are facing the difficulties of life, when I say difficulties of life, they could be anything from bullying in the school. Particularly, he pointed out, you know, when people are beating, my father is beating me up, right? Yeah. So my father is beating me up and God did not save me, right? So that's why I know he's not all good. So someone is getting bullied in the school. They're like, okay, why is God not saving me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so he's not all powerful, he's not all good. And I can't do anything about God. I can't fight with him. It's like, no, no, no. Man versus God.
Man versus
so you
God,
can
yeah.
actually fight back against God. So that's essential message that's hidden here, right? And at the end, when Superman, you know, falls onto his knees.
Yeah, that's so dramatic, right?
Yeah. Like, and he's like, you know, he's worried about the mother and he's like, you know, what's going to happen? And he's like, you know, if you fly, she's going to die. If you kill me, she's going to die. And I don't know where she is. I did not let them tell me. And you're like, oh my God, what next? And that's when another message drops in. He says, and now the God bends to my will. So the first point is God versus man. And then he says, if the man understands the weakness of God, then you can bend the God to your will, right? So that means you can actually fight the God and you just have to look for that weakness that exists in the God. And when you're able to do that, you make the God bend to your will. With that message in the mind, with this kind of an inter scenario where, you know, all this is happening, this is just a small message that goes into the brain. And every time a young teenage boy whose adrenaline is running crazy high is getting beaten up or getting scolded at house or mother is shouting or whatever, he's like, you know, it's all because of God. And one day I'm going to make God bend to my will. That thought is enough. to take him away from a God-centric life, away from the core of the religion of being obedient and submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the circumference of Islam, where one little push will just send him out of the religion. Very, very dramatic and scary.
It is very scary. And it's interesting, again, like you notice how it's very intense, right? So you stop thinking about what they're putting in your mind, because you're so, and we haven't even watched the whole thing, right? We just watched a small
one
clip.
One small clip.
Like, you know, he's showing the pictures of his mother and she's like ragged and tied up and beat up. And, you know, it's really the way that the scene is created and built. It really does, I don't know, it hypnotizes you for a little while.
And you're not protecting yourself from the world. You're actually not processing the words. Because your conscious mind is not worried about the words right now.
He's worried about his mother.
And the subconscious mind is taking everything in.
Yeah. Right? What's interesting, I think this whole concept, and I don't know this, you know. Well, anyways, we find that in the Bani Israel, right? So you have Prophet Jacob. And so they, one of the names, and you can correct me and refine it a little bit. One of the names of Prophet Yaqub, according to the Jewish faith, was that he fought against God, right?
You're familiar
with this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. In one of their books. I went and did some research on this, and then I found out that, you know, just like for Bible, we say that there are so many versions of it. Mm-hmm, and then there's one Bible, which is Bible of Barnabas, which we say that in that there's name of the Holy Prophet in it. While the Christians say that, no, we don't agree to it. Mm-hmm. We don't, subscribe to the Bible of Barnabas. We have our own John, Luke, Matthew, and all that. Right. Similarly, in Torah, they have so many versions. Mm-hmm. And one of the versions talks about this, and not all the Jews and the Jew scholars agree to this, but it exists as one of the stories.
And one of the stories that they say that one of his names was the individual who fought with God and won against the God. So I thought this was very similar to that whole idea of, you know, we will continue to kill prophets, right? Because the Holy Quran says this. We will continue to kill prophets, and we will bend God's will, and eventually he will send a prophet who is according to our whims and desires. So I don't know. I thought that was kind of something hidden, you know, in there. It was really interesting, this bending of God's will.
So sometimes we need to be really careful about, you know, what movies are we watching, you know. But I've just brought up some DC examples here. You have similar examples in Marvel. You have so many more there. So the goal is not to make this whole movie series where we bring in umpteen number of movies. I just wanted to bring in some samples and examples to show that, you know, when it comes to superhero movies, there are hidden messages. When it comes to just pure entertainment movies, there are messages hidden in it. When it comes to advertisement, there are messages hidden in it. Right. When it comes to alien movies, there's still messages hidden in it. So we're going to look at more clips, inshallah. And then we will look at some more theological doubts and questions that are being raised, and very, very intense ones. That it's not, like I pointed out, it's not a job of one clip, one 15-minute or 20-minute clip. It's going to take a whole lot of effort to answer these questions. And another backdrop to this whole scenario is that these children, these youth, they go and watch multiple movies. And with this fundamental question in their mind, they have so many more questions surrounding it. So when you start delivering lectures, particularly member, when it comes to such doubts, I would highly recommend that instead of calling a scholar and, you know, having a member, it should be more of a dialogue.
Like a workshop or a lecture kind of a thing where
you know, you open up the
seminar.
You open up the gates to the question answer section and say, okay, right, let's ask questions wherever you do not understand. Because when it's monologue, the person is just sitting and listening, and after 20 minutes, they're switched off. They're into WhatsApp, Facebook, they're playing Candy Crush. And I've seen this happening, you know, parents with their kids. Mm. And parent is like, you know, oh, don't bother me, let me listen. And then they give Candy Crush and their child is playing Candy Crush. Have no idea about what Maulana is speaking, even if the message is for him. He's busy getting those high numbers in Candy Crush, right? So this has to be more of a dialogue. The scholar should engage the people. He's like, okay, you saw the clip, what do you have to say? And that's when you get them thinking. You have to train them how to keep your guard on all the time, Even when you're watching entertaining movies, you right. have to teach them. You have right. to make them aware. You have to train them how to keep your conscious mind awake all the time and process every bit of information that's coming to you and block that which is unwanted. Mm. This is extremely important. And this is not happening anywhere in the world.
No, it's not happening anywhere.
Anywhere. No member that I've heard of, even from the best of the scholars, no lectures that
any
I've
religion
heard of,
for that matter. Yeah.
No religion, rightly pointed out. Mm. You need to have an understanding of child psychology. You need to have an understanding of teen psychology. Our scholars, they are focused on audience analysis. But yeah. one aspect of audience analysis is their psychology. So yeah. scholars necessarily have to understand the psychology of your audience. And very few scholars actually spend time trying to learn the psychology of children, youth, teens, grown-ups, mm-hmm. You know, 40s and 50s and all that. And they're like, you know, we have this pure information. We have this mm-hmm. hadith from Ahlul Bayt that if you present our pure word, people will be attracted. All that is happening. But mm-hmm. at that time, you did not have such a complex mm-hmm. enemy
exactly.
planning, designing, and, you know, inculcating and hiding such intense messages into their work.
Yeah.
But today the enemy is far more complex. You know, I've always given this example that if I have an army of 1,000 people and all of them have swords and daggers and, you know, lances and yeah. everything, even with elephants and horses, and I have an army of 100 people on the other side with cannons and machine guns and RPGs, who's going to win?
Yeah,
obviously,
right.
they're going to win. So when they are using an advanced weapon, you need to use advanced ways of defending yourself and advanced ways of attacking them. Now, if enemy is using subliminal messages, enemy is using hidden methods of, you know, prescribing and raising these doubts, you need to be aware of the weapon they're using. And the weapon they're using today is media and psychology. We need to learn how to defend our psyche, our mentality, our brains, our thinking of the youth,
our
using
souls.
Psychological
yeah.
methods.
Yeah.
Right? So that has to be taught. Our scholars will have to come up and learn ways and methods to protect our children using psychological defense system and then counter-attack using psychological techniques.
Yeah, it's interesting because, so for example, on the minbar, you have one subject, you know, and you're focusing on one thing like Tawheed, for example, in a very small aspect of the whole discussion about Tawheed. And these guys on this side, like you said, it's like a cannon or a machine gun. I mean, he just, you know, within 5 minutes, he let out 10, 15 things.
Exactly.
That you, from a minbar, talking about Tawheed in a very small, very focused, you cannot compete with what is going on the other side. You know what I mean?
So we are not really well prepared.
Yeah.
We need to upgrade ourselves. We are thinking that what we have today is enough. We have the data. We have the content. We have the pure content. We need to learn the ways of delivering it. We need to learn the means of delivering it. And that's where we are falling behind in the leading. And that's why if you look at globally, it's the Western worldview. It's their materialistic ideology that's ruling the world and not the monotheistic ideology, the Tawheed ideology that's ruling the world.
Jazakallah, thank you so much, Sheikh Ali.
My pleasure.
Inshallah, we hope to have you on another episode of Reaction.
Inshallah.
And thank you very much, dear viewers. That's all from us for now. This was Reaction Time.